And the next day, you begin to get the drift of the story here, I suspect. And the next day, the emperor's draft board comes through town and drafts every able-bodied young man in the village and leaves the young man who has just broken his limbs. And the neighbors come in and say, well, this is the most fantastic thing that's ever happened. What are you going to do now? This is fabulous. Let's all go celebrate. And he says, we'll see. And at this point, I suppose you could say that the story goes dot, 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 dot. You can continue it, I suppose, indefinitely, because the point is that any time a situation seems to present itself as having a particular meaning, you always have to be aware that there will be another side of it, viewed from some other perspective. This is really Taoist wisdom, not to leap to too many conclusions, but to just allow yourself to harmonize with the flow of events so that you take advantage of them in a natural way and don't try to turn them into something artificial that distorts them into something that they're really not. This is partly what the Taoists are talking about when they talk about no action. It's a certain sense of detachment and a certain sense of suppleness in the face of the flow of events. You can also see this, I think, in the practice of the martial arts. That would be another good example. Here in the West, when we fight with somebody, one of the things we like to do is attack them aggressively. But you know that in the Asian tradition of the martial arts, what you try to do as much as possible is to allow an opponent's strength to simply defeat the opponent. So you withdraw and allow the opponent's strength simply to exhaust itself. That's a kind of no action. It's no action with a very particular goal in mind, but it's choosing to withdraw from action rather than to aggressively attack a situation in some positive sense. Now, in the hard times that followed the fall of the Han Dynasty, Taoism obviously offered a very attractive option for the intelligentsia in China. It allowed them to pull back from what was a dangerous and difficult situation and flow to some degree with the flow of events. And it also, of course, was a great opportunity for Buddhists to begin to express themselves naturally in the vocabulary of this indigenous Chinese tradition. How did they do that? Well, initially anyway, in the very first translations of Buddhism into Chinese, the word Dharma was translated simply as the Tao. How do we express the Dharma? By the indirection of Buddhist teaching. The word Nirvana was translated how? What would be your guess? By the idea of Wu Wei, or no action, a kind of supple movement through the world that leaves no trace. So you can see how Taoist vocabulary offers great opportunities for Buddhism, but it also involves a subtle change in flavor and a change in the orientation of Buddhist values. So what are some of the changes that took place in Buddhism when it was expressed in Chinese terms? Well, I think on the positive side, first of all, we can see that Taoists shared with the Buddhists an ideal of sagehood and an ideal of wisdom. This is what the Taoists were seeking, and this is what the Buddhists sought. The sage also was detached from ordinary concerns of the world and could flow through them in a way that didn't cause suffering or hardship. The sage also harmonized with the Tao by avoiding extremes and seeking a balanced way of life, very similar to the Buddhist middle path. But Taoism also transformed Buddhism in a couple of very concrete and important ways. It made it much more pragmatic and down to earth, as Chinese civilization itself was. Buddhism often was very abstract and rarefied in its Indian form. Here it came down to earth. Taoism made Buddhism more concerned with natural ways of living, so that nature became an important concept in Chinese Buddhism in a way that had never been true in India. And finally, it made Buddhism much more amenable to a possibility of sudden enlightenment. Not an experience that came in a rarefied way at the end of a long sequence of practice, but simply came in a wise acceptance of the situation in which we are presently located. So Taoism provided a great opportunity for early Buddhism, for the early Buddhists in China, and also involved a subtle transformation that will work its way out through the rest of Chinese and East Asian civilization.